Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, February 9th, 2023. I'm your host, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is the LaCroix Poppy himself, a.k.a. my fellow Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. Tim Ma-fucking Geddes.
Let Tim host. That scared me. The delayed smoke scared the bejesus
out
of me.
That was an interesting time. Bear, did you mean for that timing? That timing was a bit different than what we usually get.
Yeah, my timing was off just because I haven't been doing it at the intro because it's usually just the one fog machine working. But I know that
today.
We got the second one working, so that's why I was like, "Oh shit, I should do that."
Hell yeah!
But then I forgot, and so yeah, it was like a second later than I wanted it to be.
Tim, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. You know, last night there was an egregious act of crime against me. All right, bless. Mm-hmm. Where I tweeted out a couple days ago, yo, they actually called the eighth Fast and Furious movie "The Fate of the Furious" because fate sounds like eight, which is just. They did that.
Which obsessed me for Fast 10. Because why wasn't it called Fasten? Fasten your seatbelts.
Fasten your seatbelts. We're not getting it, you know?
Fucked up.
We're getting Fast Vin. X, all right? And we'll see. Part one, who the fuck knows? We'll find out tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. live when I am going to be here in the studio reacting to this trailer.
By yourself?
I do not want this to be spoiled for me. This is so important. This is everything to me, bless. Everything. Family is everything.
I'm happy for
so,
you.
How do you think I felt last night when I see Universal Pictures tweeting at me saying, have you seen the second one?
That's fucked up.
And I'm like,
that's fucked up.
So
somebody on their side fucked up.
I quote you that. And I was just like, do you know who I am?
I'm offended for you. The fact that Universal doesn't know your name in regards to Fast and Furious.
Well, I'm saying.
I feel like people in the PR department should have Tim Geddes on a list, high up on a list in terms of, oh, these
look
are
out
our top.
For this man.
Yeah, look out for this man. All right, he's at large. He can do anything. Yeah. You got to watch out for him.
My dog is named Toretto, Universal. Come on.
Get it together.
Get it fucking... My dog's Instagram page is Two Palms, Two Furious. Yes, I fucking know the second movie.
Goddamn. Have you seen Tokyo Drift?
This guy wearing his slips. Have I seen Tokyo Drift? Anyways, hey, but I want to hang out with all y'all tomorrow, 8 a.m. Pacific, right here on youtube.com/kindoffunny. So maybe not right here, but...
Right next to here.
Right next to here.
youtube.com/kindoffunny. Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Something really cool happened yesterday. Metroid Prime Remastered got shadow dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so upset that I haven't gotten the chance to boot it up yet. Just because there's been so many things going on. It's review season. And I am all up deep into review season right now. So I haven't had the time to boot up Metroid Prime Remastered. But I really want to. I assume you have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How much Metroid Prime have you played?
I played about an hour last night, bless.
Yeah.
And I am in gaming nirvana. Yesterday we reacted to the Nintendo Direct. You could watch our reactions live, and I was really happy with what they showed, and I was specifically happy with the amount of stuff that I was going to get to play right freaking now. So I got to go home, take my Switch OLED that I love oh so very much, take it out of its dock, free it from the shackles of the TV so I can look at that beautiful, beautiful OLED screen. Because I don't know if you guys have heard me ever talk about this. I think the Switch's OLED screen is beautiful.
I didn't realize that. Holy shit.
I didn't know if you knew that. But just to, you know, maybe tell people for the first time, it enhances games. It makes them look, there's just something about it.
It's a pop.
It just pops, man. Mm-hmm. So first thing I did, pop into my NES, SNES, N64, Genesis, all of the little Nintendo Switch Online little storefronts they have. Why they're all different apps, I don't really fucking know.
Yeah, it's annoying.
You know, whatever. But I do kind of love it because my favorite thing to do when new things drop is to go in there and reorganize the games. I like my games in a very particular way, a very particular order. I want it to look really nice and pretty in each app. So I spent about an hour last night doing that. That's before I even downloaded the Game Boy and Game Boy Advance. Not as many games there as I thought there would be. Great quality games, but just not as many as I thought were going to be available day one. But when you combine the Game Boy and Game Boy Advance, pretty fun offering. Definitely way more games than I have time to play right now. But I popped into a couple here and there just to see the different settings that they have. obviously not as impressive as something like an Analog Pocket that is like designed to be the like premier Game Boy system. But I was really impressed with what they have going on there. Then pop it into Metroid Prime Remastered, and bless, they just took one of the best games of all time and just made it better. It is beautiful. Yesterday we were talking about when we were seeing it. First off, mega surprise, it's a shadow drop. Like, what world are we living in that we are now within weeks getting a potential Game of the Year candidate from Xbox as a shadow drop, and then we get Metroid Prime fucking remastered as a shadow drop?
Listen, let's keep this up throughout the rest of the year. Just keep shadow dropping games every other week. PlayStation, where you at? It's time. Shadow drop Last of Us Factions.
But booting up Metroid Prime, the control schemes, bless. This is, it's a dream.
Yeah.
It's a free dream. Is it,
can you play dual stick now? Like a regular, play, oh, you can thank play
dual
God.
Stick. You can play dual stick with gyro if you want. Like, it just, it feels like a Nintendo game. It feels like a next-gen Nintendo game. It's like the stupidest thing. Like, I've just been playing and loving Dead Space the last couple weeks because it takes one of my favorite classic games and makes it feel brand new again. And when I gave my review for Dead Space, I kept bringing up Metroid, right?
Yeah.
And here I am playing Metroid Prime Remastered, and it feels as good as Dead Space. I'm blown away.
Wow.
I'm fucking blown away. It is so damn good. I can't wait for you to play it for the first time all the way through. But I'm also really, really impressed with it being a remaster, but the level of remaster it is. With the new control schemes feeling as good as they are, Game Explain did a graphics comparison of the Wii version, which was already slightly enhanced from the GameCube one. And then on the right, we see the Nintendo Switch side.
Holy shit. This, and, what the fuck?
Yeah, dude.
This looks like a remake.
That's the thing. And it's like, you don't really think about it, but like, that's how our brains work. We just like kind of attach our memories of like, oh yeah, it looked like that. But this is, Metroid Prime has always been one of the prettiest games of all time. Like, in terms of like using the tech that it has, obviously we're talking about 2001 or 2002 hardware. And motherfuckers are pulling off that shit already. Like, it's really, really, really damn impressive. Bear, can you scroll forward even like to like some of the actual gameplay stuff? It just looks really good.
Holy shit.
And it feels really good. It's a smooth 60 frames per second. It's like, oh wow, Nintendo, you can do the thing. You can do it. And
that's wild. I'm way more excited to actually pick this up now. I want to bring in a question from Kebabs, of course, who writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says this. Metroid Prime Remastered turned out to be a bit more than a simple port like GoldenEye. This got me wondering, what are your criteria for this sort of thing? What distinguishes them from each other for you between a port, a remaster, and a remake? For me, a port is like Jack on the PS4. A remaster is like Super Mario 3D All-Stars, and a remake is like Shadow of the Colossus PS4. I put stuff like Resident Evil 2 PS4 into reimagining because of how different they are in gameplay. Thanks, and keep being awesome, Kebabs. This is a conversation I often hate having because it all is such semantics, and I view it the same way as I view porn, Tim, where... What was the phrase? It's
you know it when you see it.
Thank you. You know it when you see it.
There was so I was really, really interested in where you were gonna go with that.
I know. The fact that I didn't land that
the
plane.
The tamest, lamest way possible.
I knew exactly that's where he was going.
I was so confident in the ramp up and I forgot the actual how to actually land it.
Yeah, that's the type of stuff that like I think there should be like rules that everyone follows, but there aren't and there never will be. So certain games will have remastered in the title or remake in the title, or there's been a trend recently of just not doing that. Last of Us Part 1 doesn't have remake in the title, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it really matters. I think it's like looking at each product for what it is and what it needs to be and judging it there. I don't necessarily think they needed to call this Metroid Prime Remastered. They could have just called it Metroid Prime, but Nintendo has put out just straight up ports, so they wanted to make it clear that it was a little bit more. But I think they could have even made it a little bit more than just remastered based on what this is, but with Nintendo's kind of classification of what that word means, I guess it makes sense, which is different than PlayStation calling something remastered, which they've moved on from, it seems, since the
beginning
PS3
of
era,
PS4 era.
Right, yeah, like that whole thing.
They're called
thing.
Director's cuts now.
And now they're director's
cuts.
Yeah, so it's like that's all that stuff is like, I really personally don't care what it is because I think it mattered more and it I needed to know the answers in like 2016, but since then we've gotten things like Resident Evil 2 and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
We've gotten Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Exactly.
We've gotten like, Crisis Core, which like both of those you could call remakes in different extents, right? But Square Enix is like, well, if Final Fantasy VII is a remake, then Crisis Core is a remaster for
which
how
I
we view these things.
I get it, and like that logic makes sense, but you can't apply that logic to Nintendo everything. Or PlayStation or whatever. But I love the state of the world we're in, where we get the level of quality, whatever you want to call them, of amazing classic games, in addition to sequels to games that are changing the game, in the case of things like God of War and Ragnarok and things like that. But then also getting so many new IPs, so many indies. Gamers be eating out here, Blake.
We're eating out here. Has there been a better time to play video games? Tim, enough of about all that. Let's talk about today's stories, which include a Nintendo Direct recap, PlayStation's Indie Spotlight, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each week at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news needs to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you. Our reactions to yesterday's Nintendo Direct are up right now with a Gamescast post show that's up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And then a new Kinda Funny Xcast is up with Mike and Gary talking to the game marketing directors from Velen Studios about shutting down Knockout City. It's a fascinating conversation that you can check out right now, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Shady Rays and Honey, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one. Of course, a Nintendo Direct happened yesterday. Of course, you can watch our live reactions to it. And then our Gamescast post show breaking down all our thoughts and feelings. But today, we're going to start off with a quick recap for you of that Nintendo Direct and get into even deeper conversation. So yesterday, that Direct started off with Pikmin 4. That got a July 21st release date.
Congrats, Lakers head.
Congrats, Lakers head. We got a Xenoblade expansion that's coming out February 15th. Samba de Amigo Party Central got revealed. That is coming summer 2023. Fashion Dreamer got revealed from XSEED Games. That is coming in 2023. Dead Cells Return to Castlevania got a trailer. That is the Dead Cells DLC where they return to Castlevania. That's coming out on March 5th.
With so much Castlevania music and remixes and just love and tender care.
Love and tender care. We got Tron Identity that's coming out in April. We got a new trailer for We got a new trailer for Ghost Trick Phantom Detective that's coming out this summer.
A game I don't know about, but everybody is mad at me for not knowing. Apparently, they're like, Imran and Jared Petty would
fake
love this
Nintendo
thing.
Nintendo fan, Tim.
Hey, I get it.
You never heard of Ghost Trick?
Infamously, the DS, one of my least favorite of the Nintendo generations and experiences overall. Wow. Elite Beat Agents notwithstanding.
Deca Police from Level 5 Games, that got revealed. That's coming out in 2023. Bayonetta Origins, Syriza in the Lost Demon, or you may know it as Bayonetta Cerveza Origins. That got an overview of its gameplay, and that's coming out March 17th. Splatoon 3 Expansion Pass Wave 1 Inkopolis got revealed. That came out later yesterday. And then Wave 2 got teased. That is called Side Order. Side Order. Disney Illusion Island got a trailer. That's coming out July 28th.
Looks fucking awesome.
Fire Emblem. Oh, man, Disney Illusion Island is the one I'm excited about. I keep getting mixed up with Dreamlight Valley. Which Joey's really excited about. Fire Emblem Engage got a new trailer for its expansion. That expansion features characters like Chrome and Robin. Wave 2 was out later yesterday. A new Don't Nod game was revealed, Harmony, The Fall of Reverie. That is coming out in June and also was revealed to have a Lena Raine OST and a really cool art style. And
they're
I'm excited about
it.
That one.
Like, this definitely seems like one for them of like, all right, we've done our thing for so long. People loved it that did. But now let's try to go for a different audience. Yeah. And I think they're going to succeed with that based on what we saw yesterday.
And it feels like them trying to find an identity post Life is Strange, where now Life is Strange, of course, is owned by Square Enix. Deck Nine is working on the Life is Strange games. And Deck Nine, I think, has found a really good identity with the Life is Strange games after True Colors. Don't Nod. Oh, kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. I think Don't Nod did Tell Me Why. I always get that confused because they're now they make
exactly what I thought.
Now they make similar games. But I think Don't Nod did Tell Me Why, and Don't Nod also did Twin Mirror. Twin Mirror did not get good reception. But
also,
I think I
see chat freaking out. It's Crom.
Crom?
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
All right, you fucking nerds.
Show some fucking respect.
Show some. Listen.
Right? Yeah.
Crom. Crom would have been a cool name. I'm just saying. His name should be Chrome. Their name should be Chrome.
Google Chrome.
Anyway, this new Don't Nod game, Harmony, The Fall of Reverie, looks like a good next step for them. And then we got a montage featuring Octopath 2. We got a demo out for that, of course, like we do with those games. We got a Katamari Remaster trailer with a game trial out. Sea of Stars got a date, August 29th, and the demo is out. And then Omega Strikers is coming to Switch, and that got a trailer.
Looked awesome.
Looked really cool. Etrian Odyssey Origins Collection is out June 1st. Advance Wars 1 plus 2 Reboot finally got a date that is coming out April 21st. Then Kirby's Return to Dream Land Deluxe got a new trailer. We're getting a new epilogue mode. There's a demo out, and that game is officially out February 24th. And then, one of the big ones, Game Boy is coming to Nintendo Switch Online. They did a montage of games. We're getting Tetris, Super Mario Land 2, Link's Awakening, DX, Gargoyle's Quest, Game & Watch, Gallery 2, Alone in the Dark, The New Nightmare, Metroid 2, Wario Land 3, and Kirby's Dream Land. And then,
hell yeah,
another big one. Game Boy Advance is also coming to Nintendo Switch Online, but it's the expansion pack. On that, you're getting Super Mario Advance 4, which really is Super Mario Brothers 3, WarioWare, Kururin, Mario Kart, Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga, Minish Cap, and those are all out motherfucking now. And they're also going to be getting games later, like Golden Sun and other games. Really cool stuff there.
The Oracle games.
Oracle Zelda. Games. Let's fucking go. And then maybe the biggest one, Metroid Prime Remastered, got announced and was out later yesterday. And then we got a trailer for Raincode that's coming out June 30th. Baten Kaitos 1 and 2 coming out summer 2023. Fantasy Life, The Girl Who Steals Time, got a trailer, got a reveal trailer. There's a new Professor Layton game. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Wave 4 was shown off a little bit. We got a look at a new Yoshi Island track.
A track based on the original Yoshi's Island game. It looks awesome. Music from that game, like remixed in the Mario Kart style, which is great. And the announcement that we're getting Birdo as a new character, yep, in Mario Kart 8, and the announcement that we're getting even more new characters returning from the old games as well. Like, this is really damn cool for fans of Mario Kart, which, hey, there's at least 50 million of them.
At least 50 million of them. It's so funny because I feel like Nintendo could have positioned Mario Kart 8 Deluxe as a live service game to some extent, and with these kinds of drops. And I feel like, maybe, I don't know if it's just too far gone, right? We've reached too far into the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe life cycle to where they're like, well, we can't just tell them it's a live service because we don't have enough content to call it a live service, but they're going to get a lot of content down the line, right?
This, like, kind of feels like, and shit. But I think that this goes back to the remaster remake conversation we were just having, where, for it's sure, like, isn't that what they're doing? They're just calling it something different. Like,
yeah,
when you look at what Nintendo has built over the last, what, 3 years now with the Nintendo Switch Online, with the expansion packs and with all the shit that they're doing, it's like, yo, so much of this Direct was focused on the expansion passes and DLC plans for their different, like, games that are ongoing games of service live. Does it fucking matter? You're getting content. You're, yeah, getting waves of content.
I think it's just the expectation of it to, mm-hmm, where if they position Mario Kart 8 Deluxe and said, hey, we're going to have updates, this is a live game, we have a 5-year, 8-year, 10-year plan for it. First of all, Nintendo doesn't work like that. I believe they probably just go as they see the success and they're like, all right, it's selling, make more content. I think they think that way. But then also, I think with that, you might run into a Halo Infinite in situation where people are like, all right, where's the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, mm-hmm, content? Where is it at? Like, where are the new tracks? Where's the characters? Where's all this stuff? Whereas I think setting the expectations on the floor and going, hey, man, we're just putting out Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. And then years and years later being like, hey, we got waves of DLC where it's only going to be remastered tracks or remade tracks or whatever. And then getting this far into it and then being like, here's Birdo. Here's a Yoshi's Island stage. You know, they're underselling, over-delivering, right? Like, and they're killing it with it. I'm very excited to check out this new Yoshi Island track. And that's coming out in spring, as we know. We got another montage featuring Minecraft Legends, Blanc, Mega Man Battle Network.
I'm really excited for Blanc since we first seen it.
Blanc looks really cool. Have a Nice Death also looks really cool.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I've seen that before, but seeing it yesterday, I was like, yo, this looks really fucking cool.
Yeah. We got an e-baseball game, Disney Dreamlight Valley. That's the one Joey's really excited for. And then Tales of Symphonia. And then they ended with a Zelda Tears of the Kingdom trailer. It's a story trailer. They also announced a collector's edition. They also announced the Amiibo, and then they didn't announce it in the Direct, but later on they announced that it's $70.
Barry and I are planning on doing a in-depth breakdown of this trailer where, I don't know if you remember, but at E3 2021, when they dropped the first major Tears of the Kingdom trailer before it was even named that, and Barrett went off with a bunch of conspiracy theories about the game, and it was awesome. We're going to do that again today for this trailer. So
yeah, baby.
That should be coming out later today.
Another crazy one for you today.
Hell yeah.
I already saw the thumbnail for it, and it made me laugh out loud.
Let's fucking
I'm like,
go.
I can't wait. I can't wait to hear the explanation of this one.
Tim, we're a day later.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the Direct?
I loved it. I honestly, I felt crazy yesterday when you guys felt lower on it than I was. And now reflecting on it and being able to play the games that I played last night, I'm like, oh my God, that was great. Like, again, I don't think that it was... Nintendo's in a really weird place because... And not that it matters what score it gets, whether it's a 4 or 5 or whatever the hell, because, like, really, who cares about that subjective-ass stuff? But in my opinion, Nintendo Directs have proven that they can be so good that if we don't get Smash Brothers Ultimate in the Splatoon Eye reveal, it can't be a 5, you know? Mm-hmm. And to me, that's kind of where we're at with yesterday, where it's like, looking at this list of games, like, Nintendo's showing up, and they're coming through with so many of their major franchises that might not be for us, but as we've talked about the last couple of days with the financial reports, there are for millions of people. So it's like, mm-hmm. with the Xenoblade and Fire Emblem, I love Fire Emblem. Engage isn't so much my thing just because of the style it's going for, but if you look at Twitter, people are loving Engage. They're excited that they're getting this much more content for it. I want to support Nintendo supporting games. Even if they're not the games that I'm looking forward to, the more they do that, when they do get to the games I want, or things like Mario Kart, they're going to support them. Even if it is years later in the most unexpected way possible, but we're getting Birdo, my guy.
We are getting Birdo. Yeah, like, you know, I think for me, I am glad that we got things like Metroid Prime Remastered. I am glad we got a new Zelda trailer. I am super glad we got the Game Boy and Game Boy Advance stuff. And when I look at the rest, right, I think it comes back to what you're talking about in terms of Nintendo showing up with games that are good for sects of their audience, right? Where not everybody is a Fantasy Life person, not everybody is a Professor Layton person, but I'm sure the people that are those people are fucking going crazy over this thing, right? Because, like, you're getting brand new games in these franchises that are overall fairly niche, right? Fairly unique, but also we don't see that often, right? I think, like, seeing these things on the Nintendo side is a thing that, like, brings that more attention, right? Brings that more focus. Like, I don't really, when I watch PlayStation State of Play or an Xbox EXO event, right, or Inside Xbox or whatever, I don't really expect to see games like Fantasy Life or Professor Layton or Botan Kaitos 1 and 2. But
you don't expect to see amazing games? Like, what does that mean? Botan Kaitos is, like, iconic games.
Yeah.
That people love.
And that's what I'm saying, right? Like, the fact that we're getting those games that are more on the unique side but speak loudly to those audiences, I think that's cool that we can get that out of a Nintendo Direct.
I feel like we get that shit out of state, like the level of things that you're talking about out of state of play. I mean, Square gonna be Square no matter where they're squaring.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They can be squaring on Nintendo, they can be squaring on Xbox, squaring on PlayStation. They're still gonna be bringing the Square,
yeah.
Right? And they bring the Square. And you look at XSEED's gonna bring the XSEED. Look at I'm just gonna stop that. You know
what I mean? they're gonna exceed your expectations.
No, that's a positive way to put it. But
that's the thing is, like, Fashion Dreamer is one that I hated on yesterday immediately when I saw it, and after when we were doing the post show, and I saw enough people on Twitter being like, "Oh snap, Fashion Dreamer looks pretty cool," right? Yeah. And those are people, like, that is that audience. If you're somebody who's into, like, the fashion games, if you're somebody who's into that genre, if you have a passion for fashion, Fashion Dreamer might speak to you, yeah. Right? And I think it's cool that we can have those types of games in a Direct. Is that going to make for the most exciting Direct? For me, no. For me, there's still a balance of how you present things and, like, how you package things in. Like, I still would have preferred something like Fashion Dreamer to be in a montage instead of, like, its own moment in the show. But again, all of it comes back to subjectivity, right? Where those games aren't for me. Something like Metroid Prime Remastered is for me, right? Even Pikmin 4, I would say, is not necessarily for me. But then you get to the Game Boy stuff, and I'm like, yeah, that is for me. You know, that's usually what the stuff comes down to. And I think with this Nintendo Direct, even the previous one, right? I think it's just a weird thing of I'm sure there are reaction channels out there that did react to the Nintendo Direct that were like 5 out of 5.
Roger's Base freaking out about every single announcement here. Not every single one, but all the ones we're talking about. It's like, he's losing his mind. Like, Tim Getty's breaking laptop levels to Professor Layton. You know? But, like, it's genuine. Like, that's out there. There is that fan base for these things where, I don't know, you just don't see for a lot of other showcases.
Now, approaching the show is Greg Miller.
Approaching the show. That's a great way to put it.
You can sit out. This isn't about you. Hey, Bless, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How's it going with you?
Good. So it turns out in Canada, or at least Quebec, right, in the grocery store, they just have bagged up unconsecrated Eucharist. Would you like some?
Sure.
Hell yeah.
You want a whole sheet? You want some unconsecrated Eucharist?
Just me, like, a little bit. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to eat all this on this.
I'm good.
What? I don't
this
know
look
what
edible to
is.
You?
I don't. That's foam. Or that's what? Like styrofoam.
I don't think I have had the Eucharist. It looks like foam.
Straight up, that's styrofoam.
Oh. Oh. Yo, Tim, break off a piece.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah.
Yo, if you all like this, let me tell you about Catholicism after this.
Oh, wait for us. Okay.
Every Sunday, you kidding me?
I didn't know that's what they called it, but yes, I have had the wafer. Usually it's like in a small circular thing, and like it's attached to like a little cup with some grape juice in it. Literally well, like the packaging is.
And now approaching the stage.
Approaching the stage is Andy Cortez. Do you want some communion?
Gonna be hitting the links today, everybody. Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Playing Smash Brothers?
So right after this, the boys are gonna go play golf. IRL.
Wafer?
Yeah. I used to steal these all the time for my church. I was an acolyte. I'd walk up with a little, like, it was me and Edge and Christian.
Yeah. We're going to have fun here today. I'm kind of funny, everybody.
Is there
Hang out all day.
Is there grape juice in the back anywhere? If there is, can you bring some?
I got that Logan Paul Raspberry.
I'm good.
Greg said he has the Logan Paul Raspberry Energy drink, I think.
And Flex goes, I'm good.
Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then we get a ride in to KFTD, and I'm like, you did the damn thing.
Yeah,
I love you to the ride-ins, right? One of those people that does that, this Union Wafer is fucking killing it. one of the people that does that, right, is my guy, Jake Bakes Cakes. He always writes in with the great questions, the great ride-ins. He's out there baking them cakes. Jake Bakes Cakes writes in today and says this. Good morning, my KFGD lord, Tim, and savior.
Sure,
blessing.
Okay.
Yesterday's Nintendo Direct was ... good, but it didn't give us a clear picture of Nintendo's future. So I'm going to ask you to build out that 2-year future for me. I mean, like the next 6 months. I think it was
Which is what they said they were going to do.
Jake Big Skates wants to talk about the next 2 years. From March 2023 to March 2025, using the following games, please build out the ideal Nintendo calendar, placing each game in a month. I try to pick games that are either rumored or are likely to happen. Feel free to add more or remove titles as you please.
So I love this. Great list of games. All things that are likely to come out at some point. It's interesting to look. Again, I've said this a million times. We're at a point that you cannot look at Nintendo patterns. Nintendo changes its shit up too much. There is nothing to rely on, so they are always a wild card. The WNDs are in full effect. I remember looking at the Wii era, transitioning to the Wii U, and when the Wii U came out, we started getting some titles, and now we can all admit and look back, because now everyone's actually played these games, the Wii U had banger fucking games, all right? It just didn't have that many of them, but it had a good library. I'd say there was at least a dozen really high quality Wii U games, but it was missing a ton of the big ones. Like we were all waiting, like, when are we going to get the proper first HD Metroid game? Because remember, the Wii U, the first HD Nintendo console.
Oh yeah, you're right.
kind of wild. I always forget about that, right? So we got the HD Smash Brothers. Like, oh wow, 1080p, that's crazy. We got the Mario Kart. We got this and that. We didn't get Metroid. At the end of the day, after all of it, we never got Metroid because Retro was like, we're going to make a 2D Donkey Kong game. And we're all like,
and it kicked ass.
Excuse you?
And
what
it kicked
the fuck?
So much ass.
And it
ass.
Kicked so much ass. Tropical Freeze is fantastic. But alas, we did not get a Metroid game, right? Mm-hmm. So there's always some things you're like, oh, we're going to get it. And then you just don't
you
get
just
it.
Don't.
No matter how many years go by. So now that the Switch is happening, we're looking at it. I think we're in a very similar situation where there's a ton of stuff. We're like, yeah, we're going to get another 2D Mario. We're going to get another 3D Mario. We're going to get this. We're going to get that. But are we going to get it on the Switch? I don't know. Are we going to get on the Switch too? I'm not sure.
This is what I want you to do. I'm going to read through this list of games. I want you to tell me either a release window or not coming to Switch at all.
Yeah. Well, starting off, I just want to say this. I think that the Switch 2 is happening sooner than later. I think that based
crazy,
on what
man.
We saw yesterday, the Zelda Tears of the Kingdom is the last big hurrah for this system, I think. And it being the last hurrah, there might be some big things coming after. I still think a Mario can come later in this year. But what I'm saying is I think that we should expect a lot more things to the level of Metroid Prime Remastered, where I think we're going to get some more GameCube games. I think we're going to get F-Zero. There's been rumors of it, and I buy it now. We're getting F-Zero GX in the same type of remastered way that Metroid Prime happened, and I'm going to be very fucking happy.
I was talking to Roger about this before the show, and we're having a conversation about the Switch and about like the Switch sunsetting and all this stuff, and I still think we have maybe 2 to 3 years left of the Nintendo Switch, but I also think that Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom could be the last big game of this tier. Like I at this point I wouldn't be surprised if there's not another 3D Mario. I wouldn't be surprised if there's not another like big juggernaut game left for the Switch.
Metroid Prime 4.
I guess Metroid Prime 4, right? Like, but yeah, like I could see things of that tier lore, right? I could see more of the Professor Layton's. I could see more of the Fantasy Life games, like the unique stuff where it's like, whoa, where did this come from? And like certain parts of the audience are super into that. But I wouldn't be surprised in the next couple of years of the Switch, the last few years, are just us kind of coasting, kind of waiting on like kind of feeling like the last few years of the Wii U, where it was you're getting directs and you're just like, what is any of this shit? All right, cool. Because they are kind of holding the ship for whatever the next big console release is. I hope that's not the case. I hope we get exciting games, but I'm not too sure anymore.
Yeah, I mean, well, again, it's Nintendo, so who the fuck knows what's going to happen? We just need to let it happen to us, and hopefully we like it.
All right, so go through this list of game. Jake's Base Case starts off with a rumored 2D Donkey Kong. What window do you think it comes at, or does it not come to Switch at all?
I think that it is, I mean, I'm 50% on this.
50%?
Yeah.
Okay. Rumored Kid Icarus.
Because the rumors were Nintendo EAD was working on it, which is the Odyssey team.
Yes.
They're working on something, everybody.
Could be a 2D Donkey Kong.
It could be.
Rumored Kid Icarus remaster.
It's going to happen.
2023?
I don't know. 2023, 2024.
Rumored.
The thing about Nintendo is they fucking sit on shit.
Rumored F-Zero remake.
I think it's going to happen.
And speaking on that,
F-Zero GX.
It's reported that apparently they've been sitting on this Metroid Prime remaster for the last year.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Wild. Oh, man. How about, I mean, I'm positive they're sitting on that Wind Waker and the Twilight other game, Princess. Twilight Princess. Yeah. Yeah, they're just waiting.
Hey, Barrett, can you do me a favor? Can you send me an invite link to the Discord?
I can.
Our boy got booted. Thank you.
Let's see. Next, 3D Mario.
I mean, I'm a believer. I think that there is a higher chance that we get another core Mario game, either 2D or 3D, on the Switch.
I'm going to say we don't see another one on the Switch. Next, 2D Mario.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
such a toss-up. I don't know what they'd want to do, but, like, there's so much money on the table with this. Like, they don't need this to sell another console. they need it to sell software. And, like, it will sell so well, bless.
I'm going to say, I think we do see a new 2D Mario. Because we haven't seen a new, like you mentioned, right? We have not seen a brand new one. Unless we count, that's like, Mario Maker or, like, you know, the ports. But which we don't count, right?
It's 2013.
Metroid Prime 4. I think that'll be the true swan song. I think that'll be the last big game you see on the Switch.
You know, oh God. Sorry, I'm multitasking the worst way right now. I would not be surprised if Prime 4 ends up getting pushed to the next console, but I think the most likely thing is it's going to be cross.
Yep.
The most likely thing is I am convinced that the next Switch is just going to be a Game Boy Color to the Game Boy type iteration. So I think that the Switch generation technically is not going to end, which is why it's hard for me to answer these questions, because I think we're going to get all these things on the Switch. It's just going to be whatever next-gen Switch is called and looks like.
I'm looking through the rest to see if there's any interesting ones to throw at you.
Metroid Prime 2 and 3 remastered, I don't think we get.
Mm-hmm.
I think that
Wind Waker plus Twilight Princess, we're going to get. I think that might be 2024 at this point.
I could see it late 2023, though. You know.
Yeah. I think it just has to get like enough distance away from Tears of the Kingdom,
yeah,
and then they'll
exactly.
drop it. Link to the Past / Link Between Worlds remake. Oh, my God. In my perfect world, we'll see that. And I think there's a possibility.
I don't think a Link to the Past remake exists.
I don't think it exists.
I could see it for Link Between Worlds because it's the... You're theorizing, Tim, it's the team that did...
Grezzo.
Yeah, Grezzo, who did Link's Awakening. I feel like they want to do weird... If they're going to do another Zelda game, they would want to do another weird Zelda game, kind of like Link's Awakening. And I could see Link Between Worlds being a little bit weird enough.
I would think that, yeah, I think they start going down the line of, all right, the Link's Awakening did well. What's the next one we can do? Whether it be... Link Between Worlds or one of the Oracle games.
Yeah.
I think they start going down that line. I think eventually you get to Link to the Past, though, right? Like,
that'd be sick.
I think Link's Awakening was the weird one because it was, hey, let's remake this game that is not really playable anywhere, right? And like, I think Link to the Past, in terms of sales and in terms of how well it would do just critically and with the audience, I think that would be such a slam dunk for Grezzo to do.
I just,
I think we're going to get Link's Pass.
There were ways to improve Link's Awakening, especially because that was a handheld game. I still think of Link to the Past as still a fucking classic that plays so well on the Switch to this day. That art style, like, that would just break my heart.
Is it additive?
Yeah, I think it's I don't know if they went with the Link's Awakening remake art style. Like, that feels like almost lesser than what the original Link to the Past art style was.
HVB in chat said, give me an Earthbound in that style. And I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah, that style's so fucking good. I think that style adds to anything. I think Link to the Past is fucking a masterpiece, but you just add to a masterpiece. Grizzle's last games, Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask. Like, they'll click to, they don't need to do the weird stuff. Majora's Mask is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Ocarina is that, obvious answer. Link to the Past, the obvious answer.
I also think, you know, why not just make their own original Zelda game in that style? I think they could do that too.
I mean, remember, Oracle of Ages and Seasons was made by Capcom. So. Mm.
And then let's see. I think we can stop there. Somebody says Captain Toad 2. I think you're dreaming.
I don't think they're dreaming. I think Captain Toad is like.
I know people like Captain Toad, but like for a sequel?
Yes!
We
haven't gotten a new Captain Toad in forever.
Oh, we've only gotten the one Captain Toad. That's
yeah, in the port. But this is the problem we're at with Nintendo, where there was the Wii U games. The Wii U era put Nintendo back 5 years, because then we just had to get those games again for 5 years, in addition to a ton of other amazing things like the Breath of the Wilds and Odysseys and stuff. But yeah, I think that it's not out of the realm of possibility we get a Captain Toad. That is the type of game I expect to get.
Yeah.
And also, just cadence-wise, like, we're due for that. I don't remember what team worked on that, but like, we're due for what they're working on.
All right. We shall see. Tim, before we hop in to story number two, I want people out there to know about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can get exclusive shows, you can get exclusive content over there, and you can get your shows ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Look how cool I look. You too can look this cool. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and so much more. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. They'll also provide 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every order, and have donated over 20 million meals to date. That's fantastic. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. Exclusively for y'all listeners and watchers right now, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the new year. You can go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDOFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself. These are 5-star rated by over 200,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. Use the code KINDAFUNNY. Shout out to Honey for sponsoring this episode. Honey is the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. And thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. And we all know there's nothing better than the feeling of saving money. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. When you check out, the Honey button appears, and all you have to do is click apply coupons. You wait a few seconds, you see the fun little dancing guy. Honey searches for coupons, and it finds you the best ones, and then you just watch the prices drop. We here at Kind of Funny have been using Honey for years, and it's helped us save thousands on tech, costumes, food, you name it. Honestly, I just love how easy it is to just set and forget and save. That's the best part. Honey doesn't just work on desktops, it works on your phone too. You just activate it on Safari on your phone, you save on the go. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. You can get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. That's joinhoney.com/kindoffunny.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
And we're back. And Tim, we have a very special guest joining us. Want to introduce our guest?
Dude, the one and only Andrew McLean, everybody.
Andrew, how are you doing? Oh my gosh, the smoke. I'm doing great, especially with this entrance you guys got going on now.
I love it. I love it so much. So, dude, yesterday I saw you tweeting out some pictures of you in the desert by some rocks trying to look for a scavenger hunt for Jedi Survivor. And I was like, what is going on here? And I see your tweets getting progressively more and more like, what am I doing with my life? So I need you to explain to us what you did yesterday and where it went wrong.
So if you guys are familiar, Jedi Survivor's having a scavenger hunt where you can find this crazy sweepstakes prize of like a lightsaber and a trip, and you play the game early and all these crazy things. I had been aware of it, but I wasn't really planning on going. But I woke up yesterday at the exact time they posted the first like real clue. And the clue was meant to be super ambiguous. Like it's like a picture of a rock, like two stormtroopers, and it's a video of them like handing a briefcase in front of a rock in the middle of a desert. Well, I've done a photo shoot at that exact location before, so I knew exactly where it was without a shred of doubt, and I was like, I can make it there. I think I can do it. Like, even if I can't get the grand prize, I think I can get at least the game for free. It's like an hour away. I gotta get in my truck and like haul tail over there, but I'm gonna do it. I grab my coffee, fly over there as fast as I can, just like, you know, legally, you know, not speeding
of course,
or anything,
speed,
right?
Of course. Yeah.
But you know, I punch the hyperdrive, you know, take off and get there and go and just like every single nook and cranny, turn my truck to four wheel drive. We're looking for it. All right. Now, if you're not familiar with this location, I'll go ahead and say it because it's no longer a mystery. Everybody knows where it is. It is called Vasquez Rocks. It's where they filmed the Star Trek movies. It's where they filmed the Flintstone stuff. Like, it is a very well-known location for like sci-fi shoots and stuff, which is why they picked it. Makes sense. Well, I eventually decide I got to get out of my truck because I can't find these people. So I start climbing over these rocks, just like hiking through these bushes that I probably shouldn't have been in, and can't find them anywhere. But I matched the exact rock for exactly where they were. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And before you know it, another person starts coming up. And another person starts coming up. We end up having like a group of 20 people there waiting for these Star Wars, EA Star Wars people to show up and hand us our prizes. We waited out there in that desert with the sun just like beating down on us for like 4.5 hours, and they never showed. I don't think that they realized how quickly people would be able to figure out this location. And man, it was, you know what, the Star Wars fans, the friends out there, they were great, super nice people. One guy brought his mom, she had snacks.
Oh my goodness.
But you know, out in the desert, like 4.5 hours, no water, no food. There were other ways that I wanted to spend my day yesterday, but that is what I
did. Everybody
and
just
I
like,
still have no lightsaber and no game code.
Did everybody give up and just go home? What happened at the end?
So we just started dropping off one by one. I was the last guy there because I
you
was
the
first
last
one
there.
I was the last one there. I was the first one there, man. First one, last one, all right? I'm not a quitter, all right, Tim?
Holy shit.
And man, they never showed. They never show every car that that would come by. You know, it was like, this is not the car you're looking for every single time. But it was never the actual.
That's amazing.
Truck with the case,
dude. Mm-hmm. This is so funny to me because when I saw this happening yesterday on Twitter, first off, I didn't know what was going on. I only knew it was happening because of you. So it's like, mm-hmm, they're not promoting this that well. And then
no.
I immediately get these like PTSD flashbacks to 2012 when me and Alfredo. When EA did the same thing and they sent a balloon up into space with a copy of Mass Effect 3 before it came out, and wherever the hot air balloon landed, whoever gets the game early. So IGN sent me and Alfredo out to go get this fucking thing. And if you scroll forward, Bear, a little bit, like it was me,
that's
Kevin,
madness,
and Alfredo when we were like as old as you see us here, mm-hmm, driving through the fucking woods in my 1992 Corolla. interviewing these people. This guy was a meteorologist that happened to show up because he was like, oh, there's a balloon. I want to see what's going on. Mm. Just like you were saying, Andrew, mom started showing up. But like the difference between our story and yours, they both ended in nothing, where I get absolutely nothing. But at some point, the EA people did show up and they were equally like lost because the thing got caught in the top of a giant ass tree. And Destin Legarry came back in the middle of the night and at 4 a.m. saw a blinking light and found it.
Oh, shit. Did he get the game?
And then we ended up getting it. It was absolutely, absolutely wild. But anyways, I can't believe EA is still doing this. They should have known. Man. This isn't a good idea.
I love the idea of EA doing this every 10 years. It's like it's a decade tradition that they have.
It's
like,
a tradition at this point.
They're like, it's either this or we sacrifice one of our employees. So we're just going to float a free game around. Exactly. That's hilarious, dude.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, I wanted to have you on to tell that story just because I love it.
I appreciate it, man.
I love that you were the last person there. That is commitment.
Last one, man. Yeah. You know, I got the sunburn to prove it still, too. Look at that.
God.
Look at this. It's fresh.
Holy shit, dude.
Oh, I love it so much. Andrew, thank you for hanging out with us. We'll have to catch up later, man.
Of course, man. May the force be with you.
You and too. You. All right. Bye, guy.
What a nice
man. I fucking love that guy.
What a nice man. Also good looking. Goddamn.
So damn good looking.
Let's hop into story number two. PlayStation is doing their own indie roundup. I am pulling from a thread. Of course, rest in peace to the homie, Nibel. Of course, Nibel left Twitter. I've found my personal, not replacement, but my next follow, right? A person who does really good video game updates, helps me keep up to date, helps detail all the showcases, right? They did the Nintendo Direct thing yesterday, and now they did this PlayStation Indie Spotlight thing today. Their name is Noble, which is a bit close to Nibel. I don't know if they did that on purpose, but it's spelled K-N-O-E-B-E-L. But he tweeted this out. He helped me keep up to date on this because it was happening as I was putting together KFGD. Sony put a spotlight on four different games. They start off with Pixel Junk Scrappers Deluxe that comes to PS4 and PS5. That got a trailer that's coming out in 2023. They also talked about Animal Well. They did a fun development update on that. If you if you're unaware, right, this is a game that I believe we saw at Summer Game Fest.
We played this at Summer Game Fest. Yeah.
It looked really cool there. And this is also the game that's being published by Donkey's publisher that he recently founded.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. There was also Eternites, a game that me and Barrett are very much looking forward to because it's being developed by a guy who played Persona 5 one day and quit his job so he can create his own game.
Yeah, he was like, I'm going to start developing games because Persona 5 is so fucking cool.
Yeah, and it got an update. It has some more trailer footage. I watched the trailer, and this game continues to look dope as hell.
And we got a release window of summer this year, which beforehand we just didn't really know if and when it was coming out, so that's really exciting.
It looks like even more of an action because I didn't realize that the combat looks like real-time action as opposed to turn-based action,
yeah.
Which is really interesting, and it's fun to see the Persona elements in there. Like the top right, you see the 7 days left in the actual date on the calendar. Very Persona.
It's described as what, like an action dating sim at the end of the world or something like that?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that looks really cool. And then Pacific Drive got a new gameplay trailer, and that game is coming out in 2023. That is, if you remember from one of the previous State of Plays, it's the driving roguelike game.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, that looks really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoy when PlayStation does stuff like this. I still wish that they would do some kind of indie State of Play or indie, like a indie direct style thing. But even still, I love when we get spotlights like this. I do want to bring in a question from Dilbo Baggins, who writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says, PlayStation randomly decided to showcase four indie titles today. These look great, and I'm excited for Animal Well. But the announcements leave me asking two questions. One, what, if any, will be the next indie title added to the revamped PS Plus the way Stray was? If Xbox showcased these titles today, there's no doubt in my mind they will be advertised as day one on Game Pass. And then two, what is going on with Little Devil Inside? We haven't heard or seen anything about it in a while. It was the main attraction of a State of Play in 2021 and was supposed to release in 2022. Is this finally the year?
It's funny. I feel like those questions kind of work together for me, where I can see Little Devil Inside being one of those Stray-like games that, you know, we've seen a lot featured at the PlayStation State of Plays. PlayStation seems to kind of be owning the conversation around the marketing and promotion of it. I can, and they're exclusive as well. So I imagine that that would be a good candidate that I guarantee there's been conversations happening.
Yeah.
To make that happen.
I think that.
So maybe that has to do with even why we haven't seen it yet. Like maybe there is like strategic shuffling of release dates or something.
I mean, I would hope so. I think if I take
that
on.
Very hopeful.
Yeah. Yeah. I take on the more dissenting view of maybe that game's having development trouble. Maybe they need more. Not even trouble. Maybe they just need more time, right? Video games are hard to make. Indie development is especially difficult. Maybe they are like, hey, we just weren't able to make 2022, and we need more time so we can maybe hit summer 2023 or later 2023. I think it would be good for them to put that out on PlayStation Plus if they're able to strike that deal with PlayStation. It's funny. We're reaching deep enough into the generation where I think we're seeing a bit less of the indie support and spotlighting from the PlayStation side, and I think that tends to be a trend. Yeah, like think about the first year of PlayStation 5, we had Bugsnax come out on PS Plus the first month. We had Maquette as a PS Plus game. What was the fucking ugly aliens that are on the PS1? I can't remember the name.
Oddworld.
Oddworld Soulstorm was a PS Plus game as well. Like month after month, I felt like we were getting Operation Tango, fun indie PS Plus stuff, and we got at the very least more of a hey, let's prop these games up, let's talk about them. I feel like
I don't know, man. Last year we got Sifu and Stray.
Yeah, but like I feel like those were the only ones, right? And like Stray got the PS Plus treatment. I feel like you would double down on that, right? And really hone in on making that a thing. I guess I'm surprised about the lack of PS Plus synergy with the indie titles in the last year. Because yeah, like Rollerdrome got the free trial.
I see that as less of a PlayStation's not supporting indie things. I think it's more just PlayStation Plus is a mess. Like I feel like they have been really good about supporting indies and supporting quality indies and like really putting them on the forefront and presenting them as if they are as important as their God of Wars and things like that. But I do think that when you add the PS Plus side, that's just where it turns into a mess, where we look at things like Stray and it's like part of Stray's success was the PS Plus aspect of it. But I think that they're so behind Xbox and Game Pass and the strategy around it all that like we still aren't seeing some of the obvious slam dunks where we see Hi-Fi Rush and our first thought is, oh man, it's on Game Pass. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, whereas with PlayStation, our first thought isn't, oh, I bet this comes on PlayStation Plus. It's like, oh, I wonder if it could.
Yeah. I guess my thing also is what does this year look like in terms of the Sifus and Strays? And we don't really have Sifus and Strays announced for this year, right? Like there's Goodbye Volcano High, which we've not gotten a real update on in a while. There is Little Devil Inside, which we've not gotten an update on in a while. There's Eternites, which I think could even use more of a push if PlayStation believes in it in that way, right? In the way that they push Sifu like a first party thing. They're not pushing Eternites that way. This year, I feel like it's pretty empty in terms of the PlayStation indie stuff. And for me, it just comes back to I feel like this point of the generation, we usually get that from PlayStation, where first couple of years, hey, let's go hard. Let's really prop up the indies. Let's help give volume to the catalog of this console. We're a few years in, we found our footing in terms of first party. All right, let's focus in on first party. And I'm sure right now they're also focusing on VR, right? Like I think the PlayStation priorities tend to shift and turn as we get further in. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we get another announcement of a big indie title this year.
I think we will. Like, I think that we're going to get a ton this year that we just don't know about yet.
Hopefully.
Because on the first party side, we only have Spider-Man.
Yeah. But I mean, we have on the exclusive side, right? We have, we just got Forspoken. We have Final Fantasy 16. And like,
Square's showing up.
You know, Square is showing up. I just worry a little bit about I worry about getting the same indie push that we have been getting in the last few years, but hopefully they prove me wrong. Hopefully we get another Sifu this year.
C2.
Story number three, PUBG owner Krafton is opening its first Canadian AAA studio. This is Chris Skolian at VGC. Krafton, the South Korean video game holding company behind PUBG Battlegrounds, is setting up what it calls its first Canadian AAA game studio in Montreal. The studio, which will be named Krafton Montreal Studio, is being led by Patrick Mete, a former game director at Ubisoft Montreal. Mete was best known for directing Far Cry 3, 4, 5, and New Dawn, as well as Rainbow Six Extraction. He has already been joined by fellow Rainbow Six Extraction developers, as well as Martin Paradis, who was most recently an advanced gameplay engineer at WB Games Montreal. Krafton says the studio will seek to hire further 150 people over the next 3 years, with key positions including animation, programming, and head of HR. The studio's first project will be a video game adaptation of Korean fantasy novel series The Bird That Drinks Tears. The Bird That Drinks Tears. That's kind of hardcore, actually.
Yeah.
Written by best-selling Korean fantasy author Yang Du Lee. In a statement, Krafton CEO Cheng Han Kim said, quote, "We are thrilled to open our first Canadian AAA studio in Montreal, one of the world's top cities for video game production. The local pool of creative and specialized talent is impressive, and we hope that many will join our team. Crafted Montreal Studio will be our third studio in North America, and we have found a great leader in Patrick, who has extensive experience bringing franchises to new heights, end quote. Mete added, quote, as a fan of medieval fantasy since my teenage years, I'm excited to bring to life a fantasy masterpiece as an ambitious and memorable game. We couldn't be more thrilled to be a part of the Crafton family, end quote. Tim, are you excited for this adaptation they're working on?
I mean, me personally, not really, but I'm excited that it's happening because, like, this, again, continues a couple trends we've been seeing. Montreal growing as a very dominant force in the game scene, in the AAA space, getting more and more AAA teams out there. We know Krafton is able to do things like PUBG. Like, they have the money, they have the success, and getting the talent. Like, here, director of Far Cry 3, 4, 5, and New Dawn. Like, that's... dude's got skills.
Yeah.
You know? So there sounds like there's a vision here to create something that is not PUBG. All of that to me, like, that's exciting.
Yeah. I think it's cool. I'm so curious to see Krafton expand as a publisher. We just got Callisto Protocol from them, and Callisto Protocol is a game that I liked that probably could have been received better for what they wanted out of it. But at the very least, putting out big AAA single player games like that on a third party publisher side, I think it's really cool, and I would like to see more of that from them, right? And you're talking about a studio that is making PUBG money. You're talking about a studio that they're a publisher that is making PUBG money, right? A publisher that has the resources to try and figure out how to experiment and expand. And you know, I love the fact that they're adapting this thing that is probably obscure to the video game audience, probably very big to other audiences, right? But going, hey, how do we translate this to an audience that might not be familiar with the bird that drinks tears? And so, yeah, I'm very curious to see how this turns out. Story number 4. Earthworm Jim 4 has reportedly been canceled. This is Sean Murray at The Gamer. And before I even continue, Tim, did you realize that Earthworm Jim 4 was even in development?
Oh, how did you not, Wes?
I'm sorry, I somehow missed this one.
Oh, this is part of the, like, just disastrous story of the Intellivision.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Yeah.
Earthworm Jim 4 has been canceled. That's probably not too surprising, given that the Intellivision Amico has turned out to be vaporware, but it's still a disappointment to Earthworm Jim fans around the world. This sad news comes courtesy of Out of Context Earthworm Jim on Twitter. According to a Discord conversation with fans, quote, EWJ4 was quietly dusted under the carpet, and they hoped nobody would notice, end quote. They speculate that Intellivision didn't have the rights to Earthworm Jim, which is owned by Interplay, and was slapped on the wrist, or, quote, everything went pear-shaped with the Amico, and they decided to call it quits, end quote. The latter scenario seems to be the most likely. Earthworm Jim 4 was a joint announcement with Jim creator Doug Tenapel, and Intellivision CEO Tommy Tallarico back in 2019, shortly after the Amico was announced. Tenapel then launched an Indiegogo campaign for Earthworm Jim, Launch the Cow, a graphic novel reboot of the series that raised almost $10 million. That came out in 2019, with the second volume currently being crowdfunded. Then a teaser trailer was released in 2020, although it didn't feature much beyond Jim crash landing on a beach and then running around for 20 seconds. More and more disheartening reports came out of the Intellivision throughout 2020 and 2021 that made it seem like the Amico console was never going to be a thing, and that hasn't really gotten any better in the years since. Fans demanded refunds when the Amico went years past its promised release date, and then Intellivision laid off a significant amount of staff in 2022. Intellivision says it's still working to bring the Amico to market. Goddamn. But I wouldn't hold your breath. So if you want more Earthworm Jim, you'll have to sign up for the graphic novel campaign or wait for the planned TV reboot, although that doesn't seem like it's going anywhere either. Give it up. Goddamn. It's not happening. The Intellivision is not happening.
So it's a bless.
Is this the guy who, like,
yes,
yelled at Greg? Because I remember directing a Games Daily where Greg and Andrea were like, this is a bunch of bullshit. And then this guy, like, went after Greg.
Yeah.
The same, you know, guy.
Oh, God, it goes so much.
Can I just put a target in my head?
So here's the thing.
You wouldn't be the first to yell at me.
I have nothing to add to this story. Nothing. Every once in a while, we cover a story, and we're like, required reading, required viewing.
Y'all talking about Tommy Tallarico? That's what's happening?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I saw that news story today. Who would have thought? Just me and Andrea 7 years ago.
So what I'm going to give you all right now is the best 2 hours of your life. Here's what you're going to do, everybody. All right? You're going to keep watching this show with us. Then after that, you're going to watch the boys play golf in real life, because there's no way that goes well. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. But then after that, if you want to have a riveting, what day is it? Is it Thursday? Riveting Thursday night. This is what you got to do. Andy Cortez put me onto this. He's like, Tim, I know it's long. I know the subject of this video does not seem like something that you'd be interested in. Mm-hmm. Just fucking trust me. There's a YouTuber out there named H Bomber Guy, and he is so goddamn good. Amazing video essays. And he put out this video essay called Roblox_oof.mp3. And it's a deep dive, the deepest dive, a 2-hour deep dive into the origins of a sound effect in Roblox. And who actually made it? Who's taking credit for it? And how deep does this go? And Bless, if I told you that about 10, 15, 20 minutes in this video, you get educated, you understand what's going on. It then just turns into a fucking hit piece on Tommy Tallarico.
Oh my God.
And it exposes this man. If you thought Good Morning America was juicy, strap the fuck in. Everybody, check out this video. It is a game changer. It is a required viewing.
There's nothing more juicy than Good Morning America, Tim. I'm sorry.
I'm telling you, watch this video, Bless.
All right. I just learned a lot. I just thought this was a regular news story. It turns out this goes way deeper than I imagined.
All the way to the top.
Holy shit. Our final news story. Story number 5. Sonic Frontiers sells 2.9 million worldwide.
Congrats.
Ed Nottingale at Eurogamer. Sonic Frontiers has now sold 2.9 million copies worldwide since its release last November. We can get those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers, Sonic. Let's get that up, all right? Let's show them that fucking Mario has nothing on us. Isn't that right, Sonic? Sega has released its latest earnings report from April to December 2022, with net sales across the company increasing by 14.9% year-on-year. The multi-platform release of the remastered Persona 5 Royal in October also saw strong sales, with 1.3 million units sold worldwide. Sonic Frontiers and Persona 5 were the biggest game successes for the company. Despite other new releases like Football Manager and Two Point Campus, sales of catalog titles were sluggish. Project Sekai Colorful Stage, featuring Hatsune Miku, continued to have strong sales in the free-to-play sector. Looking ahead, Sega's next round of financials will include the release of Persona 3 Portable and Persona 4 Golden from last month. The forecast also notes that the launch of several major IP titles due. Yeah, the forecast also notes the launch of several major IP titles due. In the immediate future, at least, there is Like a Dragon Ishin and Company of Heroes 3 out later this month.
Bless.
What up?
Can I read this next line, please?
Go for it.
There was no mention of the Super Game mentioned in previous Sega reports. Back to you.
Sega has revised its full-year operating results forecast upwards, though this is largely due to the strong performance of its patchy slot machines. Where's that Super Game?
Where's the Super Game, Sega?
Where's the fucking Super Game, Sega? You can't hide it from
you
us.
You can't be dropping, oh, we're going to make a Super Game and then not fucking make a Super Game,
man. You can't hide your... It's Super. It's in the title. That's like trying to hide Shaquille O'Neal. All right? It's out there. We can see it.
We fucking see it. It's super big.
Where's your fucking Super Game?
How many A's are there? It's not triple. It's not quadruple. It's just...
It's a Super... Oh, goddamn. Shout out to Sonic the Hedgehog keeping Sega alive, along with their Apache slot machines. Please don't turn into Konami, Sega. Please, I couldn't take it. I can't take it. Unless you put it like... There's got to be like a Sonic pachinko machine somewhere in San Francisco, right? That I can find?
I highly doubt that. There used to be a Sega arcade in San Francisco in the ballpark. It's gone now.
Anyway, good on you, Sonic. Tim, I can't wait to see the reveal of Sega's Super Game. But the reveal feels like it's just so, so far away.
Yeah.
If I want to know what's coming out to mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, we got Prison Tycoon under new management for Switch. I'm going to pause here, Tim.
I think it's just popping up on different consoles.
Because the one yesterday was like a cop game, and this is a prison game.
I saw Prison Tycoon pop up on the Switch yesterday when I was going to buy Metroid Prime, and I was like, we've gone too far.
That's the thing is, like,
we've gone too fucking far.
I don't need any more. I feel like I read these every other week where there's a new prison game or a new cop game. Can we stop making the prison and cop games? I'm getting uncomfortable. Can we stop, please? Damn. Why do y'all want to control prison so badly? And then we got Clash Artifacts of Chaos for PC, PS4, PS5, Switch, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. And then Knights of Braveland for PC. New dates for you. Swords of Gargantua will relaunch on March 2nd on MetaQuest and Steam. And then Paranormsite is coming March 9th for Switch, mobile, and PC. What is this, Barrett, that you have pulled up?
I mean, you said new dates, but you know, today's day, 2-9, it's meat day. So happy meat day, everybody.
Happy meat day. Today. What anime is this from?
This is Full Metal Alchemist.
Happy meat day.
Happy meat day to you.
And then
that celebrate.
Arc System Works tweeted out a notice about Guilty Gear Strive. The release of additional character number 8 and additional stage number 3, originally planned for March, will be delayed to early April in order to provide the best quality possible. Thank you, Guilty Gear.
Thank you.
Deals of the day for you. Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Pikmin 4, and Advance Wars are eligible for the Nintendo Switch voucher. Remember, that is the voucher. You pay $100, you get access to 2 Nintendo game titles that are eligible. And so, if the $70 for Tears of the Kingdom seems like too much for you, you pay $100 and get Tears of the Kingdom and Pikmin 4. Or Tears of the Kingdom and Advance Wars. Or Tears of the Kingdom and whatever else is on there. Maybe Metroid? Maybe Metroid? Metroid Dread?
Got it. I want to play Metroid Prime.
Remastered or 4?
Remastered.
Same.
Because I know it's great. Metroid Prime.
Metroid Prime 4 could be anything. You boot that thing up, it's Cookie Mama Cookstar. The Epic Game Store for more new dates, more deals of the day.
That was a great deep cut.
Thank you, I appreciate it. I heard the laugh, and I know it didn't get caught on microphone, but it made me chuckle inside. The Epic Game Store's next free title has been announced. Strategy war game, War Pips, will be free to claim from Epic's PC Marketplace from February 16th to the 23rd. Again, let's make happier games. I'm tired of playing these cop games, and these prison games, and these war games. Put me in a kitchen. Let me play Cook Mama Cookstar.
Give me a fucking super game, Sega, you goddamn cowards.
Fucking cowards. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong or you're right in. Let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. We have one you're wrong, which doesn't seem right. I feel like we got way more wrong on this episode. Just a gut feeling, but hey, y'all are telling us we got shit right. Zaxxon Galaxian says, Have a Nice Death came out March 8th, 2022 on Xbox and PC, but it's finally coming to Switch. Which isn't a you're wrong. It's more of a shout-out, I guess. I don't think anybody's got that wrong.
I'll take credit for it, because I was questioning it. I was like, what the fuck's up with this game?
Have I think seen the it other day I was like, oh, this game finally got a date, and I didn't realize that it had come out to other platforms. Because I remember seeing that somewhere in like the last year or two, and then I just had not heard from that game. So.
I'll never forget when Death Jr. was first shown off on the PSP. It was the first ever PSP game shown, and I lost my mind because I'm like, it's a fucking 3D platformer that I can play on the go. And then the music that played behind it was the same sample from Bitch Please.
Oh,
and I was like, this is the dopest shit I've ever seen.
I think I remember that trailer. You just unlocked a memory for me. Holy shit!
That's what I do, bless.
Also, someone else is in the chat is saying that Have a Nice Death was in early access apparently until
recently
or possibly this. Release on Switch, is it going into 1.0? Hard to tell.
Take that, you're wrong.
Hard to tell, everybody.
I'm gonna call that a clean game for us. I'm gonna call that clean. Us talking about Have a Nice Death, and also talking about what was it called, Death Jr. Reminds me of Uncle Death from Let It Die, and skateboarding.
Yeah,
skateboarding Solomon. Shout out to Uncle Death.
Shout out to Uncle Death.
Tomorrow's hosts for Kinda Funny Games Daily are going to be Tim and me. Tim, what are you watching right now on YouTube?
You know, I was trying to find the trailer I'm talking about from Death Jr., but I can't find it.
Oh, so damn.
I'm going to stop. I'm going to give up.
If you're watching this live on Twitch right now, or YouTube, after this is golf in real life.
Golf
with Mike, Roger, Nick, and Andy. That's right. You can join them on the link.
I can't wait to see this.
Like,
to make it clear, like, they're not playing a video game. They are actually going to a golf course with, like, a portable live streaming unit.
I'll be the one to say there's no way this works.
with Roger on camera, like, everything about this is like, it's going to be beautiful.
If you want to catch that stream later, of course you can subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Remember, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every weekday live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, game daily.